Hello, welcome to the AlteryX Power BI Lab walkthrough. My name is Brett Statham. I'm a Microsoft Technical Evangelist, and you can contact me using the email address there on the screen. The prerequisites for this lab are pretty simple. You'll need a Windows 7 or later computer with IE9 or greater installed. Then you'll need to download and install the Power BI desktop using the link there on the screen. You'll also need to download the lab files. That includes the data and a sample report, as well as a step-by-step walkthrough in PDF form that you can use. And then finally, you'll need to have a Power BI account, and you can sign up for free using the URL there on the screen. There's 10 basic overarching steps in this lab. First, we're going to look at reviewing an existing Power BI report. That'll give you a sense of the kind of report you're going to be building throughout the rest of the lab. Step two, then we'll start that. We'll come in and show you how to create a report yourself using some data that we provide. You'll add a map, a table, and some cards to that report. Then we'll add a second page to the report and place a scatter chart on that page. In step four, we'll show you how to save the report. And then in step five, we're going to test our logins to the Power BI service. We'll need to make sure that we have a valid login before we continue with the rest of the steps. In step six, we'll use that login to publish the report we built in the Power BI desktop up into the Power BI service. In step seven, we'll also show you how to consume content packs that contain datasets, reports, and dashboards created by others within your organization. Then we'll show you how to create your own dashboards and share that with others in step nine. And finally, in step 10, we'll take a look at using natural language query in your dashboards to be able to mine the data in your datasets and reports. In step one, we're going to review an existing Power BI report. This will help you get a sense of the kind of report you're going to be creating in the rest of the steps throughout this lab. To start, go ahead and open Power BI Desktop that you installed previously. When it launches, if the Getting Started page appears, you can go ahead and close that by clicking on the X in the top right corner. Then from the Power BI File menu, select Open, and navigate to the folder where you extracted the AlteryX Power BI Lab Files zip file to. In that folder, locate the AlteryX Power BI.pbix. That's basically a pre-existing Power BI file with a dataset and a report already in it that you can easily review. Click Open to open it. And it starts you out previewing the first report page. But let's first jump over to the data page, and we can see the data set that this report is based on. So this is actually the output from a previous AlteryX workflow, and you can see that I have a number of responses related to certain businesses and the sentiment of those responses, where 0 reflects a negative sentiment and 1 implies a positive sentiment. I also have the location of the respondents and their distance from the business they were responding to. Now, if I flip back to the report page, you can see that I have a number of different visualizations of that data. There's a map visualization, a number of card visualizations, and a table visualization. And the map visualization is showing aggregate responses, where the size of the dot is related to the number of respondents for any given zip code, and the color is related to the average response score, where 0, again, is negative or red, and 1 is positive or a light bluish green. And if I actually click on a dot on the map control, you'll see that the other visualizations are filtered to display just the data related to the selected dot. And as I click on other dots, you can see those other visualizations are updated to reflect just that data. I can then click away to unfilter and show all the data again. You may also notice the reports can have multiple pages. Right now I'm on the sentiment by zip page, but I can switch to the sentiment by distance traveled page. And you'll see this looks very similar, except instead of a map visualization, there's a scatter chart. This is showing aggregate response data by the distance traveled to the business. Again, I can click on a dot on the scatter chart and have the other visualizations updated. Lastly, I can click away to deselect and unfilter the data. When you're done reviewing the report, go ahead and close Power BI Desktop. In step two, we're going to show you how to create that same report yourself. To get started creating the report, open a fresh copy of Power BI Desktop. Once again, if the Getting Started page appears, go ahead and close it by clicking on the X in the top right corner. This time, rather than opening an existing report, we want to create one ourselves from some pre-supplied data. So on the Home ribbon, click on Get Data. In our case, the data is available as a CSV, but notice there's a number of other data formats available. But select CSV and click Connect. Once again, navigate to the folder where you extracted the Alteryx Power BI lab file zip file to, and now select the Alteryx Power BI.csv data file. That's basically the same data that we saw in the previous PBIX report, just as a CSV. So go ahead and click to open that. And Power BI will actually let you preview the data here, and I can see that my zip column has some issues. There's no leading number in front of these. This actually should be a zero, but it was stripped off because it thinks it's a number. So I need to edit this data set. I'll click on the Edit button, and I'm now inside my Query Editor window. I'm going to scroll across horizontally to locate the zip column and click on it to select the header. The first thing I want to do then is on the transform page, I'm going to change the data type from a whole number to text. Then I need to repair the format of the zip column by going to the format button, clicking add prefix, and I'm going to go ahead and prepend a zero to the beginning of those zip codes. That all looks good. So once I'm done with that, I can go to the file menu in my query editor and choose close and apply. Now that we have our data loaded, let's add the first visualization. This will be a map visualization. We're back in the report where we just added the data. Next, under the Visualizations tab, click on the icon for the map visualization, and map will be placed on your page. You can drag the map around and grab the corners to resize it appropriately. And you'll notice that the map visualization has a number of properties or fields that we can assign. In fact, there's a couple of different ways that we can set the location of the bubbles that appear on the map. We can use the location property and assign it to a zip code that can be geolocated. Or we can use the latitude and longitude properties and assign them actual lat and long data from our data set. Let's try that first. I'm going to grab the lat column from my data set and drag it over to the latitude field or property on my map visualization. And similarly, I'll take the long column from my data set and drag it to the longitude field. And you can see that I start to get some bubbles appearing on my map visualization. Let's change the size of those bubbles to reflect the number of unique user IDs within that given latitude and longitude. So I'm going to grab user ID and drag it down to the size field. And you'll notice that it's properly assumed that we want to count the number of users with that given latitude and longitude. And so now where there were more users with the same lat and long, I get larger dots. And where there were fewer users, I get smaller dots. Now let's change the location of the dots by removing lat and long and instead having it geolocate based on the zip column. Remember, we repaired that zip column previously, so it reflected valid zip codes. And so now it's located where those zip codes are actually on the map, and again, reflected the size of those dots as the number of users with that given zip code. So next, let's change the saturation of the coloring on those dots. Notice I have a color saturation property, and I want to grab the actual response score. This is the sentiment where 0 is negative and 1 is positive. So let's drag that over to the color saturation, and I don't want the actual response score, I want to get the average response score. So I'll click on the little triangle and choose average from the list that appears. And so the darker dots had better response scores. For example, this one has a response score of 0.7. And the lighter dots have worse response scores or more negative ones with, for example, an average of 0.02. And then lastly, let's actually change the coloring of those dots. So instead of looking at the fields for my visualization, I want to switch to the format page. And notice that I can set the data colors. And I'm going to have this actually assign a range or diverging range of colors where the minimum values, those negative responses, will actually be colored. And I'll choose a custom color here, some reddish color. We'll allow the ones in the middle to still be white and the higher response values to be this bluish green. You can change those colors if you like. But now I can see these red dots indicating poor responses, 0.02, and the brighter values being more positive responses. So you can see that a map control is a great way to show aggregate or summary data based on location. In this next task, we'll look at adding a table to show detailed data. So back on the report with the map visualization we were just working with, first of all, make sure to click away from the map on the report page to deselect the map. That'll make sure that you don't accidentally change the map visualization to a table visualization. Now, under the Visualizations tab, you can click on the Table Visualization icon to add a table to the page. And again, you can drag around the table and resize it according to your needs. Setting the columns for the table to display is pretty easy. We want to display the user ID, the city that the user is in, the actual response they gave to the given business, and what the sentiment or score of that response was. So it's that simple. I can now, again, resize things here as I need to, just make sure things fit nicely on the page. And then lastly, to help make these visualizations stand out, I should give them a border. So I currently have the map visualization selected. I'm going to switch to the format page, and down at the very bottom, just turn the border on. And then I'll do the same for the table. On the format page, I'll scroll down to the bottom and turn on the border for that. And now I can start to see that these guys aren't actually perfectly lined up. So now I can start to resize things as I need to and get them where I want. That looks pretty good. The next kind of visualization we'll add are cards. And cards give you an easy way to show individual aggregate values. So back on our report page, I want to make sure to first click away on some white space in the report page to make sure that I don't accidentally change one of my existing visualizations to a card. But with white space clicked, I can jump to the visualizations page or tab and choose the card icon. And again, I can drag this around and kind of place it wherever it is I like on my page. And I can display a field here. I'm going to go ahead and grab the response score field and drag that over to the data field that's going to be displayed on that card. And I can see here that it's showing sort of a single response score. I want to change that to show an aggregate average value. So this card here shows the average of the response score. And now I want to again format that with a border. So I'll go to the format page and turn a border on. And I actually want a few other cards on this page as well, all for response score, one for maximum and one for minimum. So an easy way to do that is to just copy this existing visualization. So with the visualization selected, I'm going to press Control C on my keyboard to copy that. And then I can click away and Control V to paste a copy of that. And I can drag it around and position it where I want on my page. By the way, as you're positioning things, if you have a visualization selected, you could also use the arrow keys to move them around. And I want to change the aggregate from average to maximum. And then again, I'll Control V to paste another one, position it where I want it, and change the aggregate to minimum. In this next step, we're going to add a new page to our report, and we'll use a similar layout with cards and table, but rather than use the map visualization, we'll use a scatter chart. At the bottom of our report page, notice that we currently have a single page named Page 1. I'm going to right-click on that and choose Rename Page, and we'll rename it Sentiment by Zip, and press Enter. And now I want to add a second page, and that's easy to do just by clicking on this plus button. And again, we'll right-click and rename, and we're going to call that Sentiment by Distance Traveled. All right. Now for the visualization on this page, I'm going to use a scatter chart. So under the visualizations, I'll click on the scatter chart icon. And again, I can drag this around and position it where I want. I'm going to position it similar to where that map control or visualization was on the first page, because I'm going to use a similar layout. Now, with the scatter chart, I need to tell it about the X and Y axis values. For the X axis, I'm going to use that same response score, again, as an average. And for the Y axis, I'm going to use the distance in miles that the respondent was from the business. So I'll drag that down to the Y axis, click on the triangle, and change to the average again. For the size of the dots, I'm going to use that same user ID that we did before, and verify that, again, it's counting the unique users. And then finally, we'll have the actual dots themselves reflect the city where the respondent was. So I'll click on city and drag that down to the legend field. So now I can see that I've got a number of dots showing up on this. And lastly, before I add other visualizations to this page, let's go format this scatter chart with a border. So I'll scroll down to the bottom here and turn that border on. Now I want to add the same table and cards that we had on the sentiment by zip page. And that's really easy to do with just copy and paste. So I'll switch back over to the sentiment by zip page. I'm going to select that table visualization, and to copy it, I'll simply press Control C on my keyboard, switch back to the sentiment by distance traveled page, and Control V to paste it in. And now I can reposition this scatter chart to sort of line up with the formatting that we had on the previous page. And that's probably close enough. Okay, now for the cards, I'm going to switch back to sentiment by zip, and I can actually copy all of them at once by selecting the first one, then holding down the control key and clicking on the other two. Then with control still held down, I'll do control C to copy them to the clipboard, switch back to the sentiment by distance traveled, and I can control V to paste them in there. So great, I've got the layout here, and we demoed a previously existing report, and we saw that you could filter the data on a page by clicking on one of your aggregate visualizations. So as an example here with my scatter chart, I can see that there's actually a number of responses that actually are associated with that bubble. In fact, there's 11 of them. And if I click on that, I can see that the cards and the table have been filtered to show the data, only the data associated with that bubble. And I can click on other bubbles and I can see that those filters are updated. Well, let's say that as I was doing that, I wanted the average and minimum response scores as well as the table to be filtered, but maybe, for example, you didn't want the max response score to get filtered. And you can do that by editing the interactions with this control. So I've got the scatter chart selected. From the format ribbon, I'm going to edit the interactions of that scatter chart. And you can see that the other controls appear with these filter or none icons. And I'm going to click on the none icon next to the max response score. And you can see that it's gone back to its aggregate for all values. And so now as I click on the other bubbles, you can see that the average, min, and table get filtered, but the max response score is consistent at 0.97. I can click away to clear the filter and turn off edit interactions. And I've now set that behavior for this page. In this next step, we're going to save the report locally to our workstation. And this is one way that you can share reports. You could save them as .pbix files and then send them off to other people to view. Saving your report is super simple. Before I save it, I'm going to switch back to the sentiment by zip page. So that's the default page that comes up when I open it. And then from the file menu, I'll simply click on save and then navigate to the folder where I'd like to save it. I'm going to use the same folder where the lab files were extracted to, and then simply give it a name. I'm going to call it my report. You can call it something else if you like. And notice that this is going to be a Power BI file or a .pbix. That's actually something that I could then ship off to my friends or colleagues through email or through OneDrive or something like that as a way of sharing this report. I'll click save to save it, and it's that simple. Now, a more powerful way of sharing this data is to put it up in the Power BI service. So we'll get into that in the next couple of steps. In this next step, we're going to verify that we can log into the Power BI service. This will be necessary to complete all the rest of the steps in this lab. So we want to make sure we can do it now. Open a web browser and go to powerbi.com. If you'd like to create your own account, you can do so by clicking on Get Started Free. You'll need to have a valid corporate email address, and that means not an Outlook.com, Gmail.com, or Yahoo.com type social account. You'll need to have a regular old traditional email address to sign up with. If you'd like to do that, you can, or if you're at an event where credentials have been provided, you can simply click on Sign In and use those credentials. So I'm going to use credentials that stand for Dashboard in a Day User, and I'll use user number 190 at Power Community on Microsoft.com. And your credentials should have been given a default password, so go ahead and enter that. and sign in. And if this is the first time you've signed in, you may have to change your password and update it. So re-enter your current credential or password, and then enter a new password to use. Make sure to remember this password, because you'll need it to sign in as that account from now on. Click Update Password and sign in. And if all went well, you should be connected into the Power BI service. We're going to stop here and continue on with the next step. Now that we know we have valid credentials that we can use to log into the Power BI service, we can publish the report that we created in Power BI Desktop up into Power BI service for ourselves or to share with others. I'm going to switch back to the Power BI Desktop window with our report open in it. And from the Home menu, I'm going to click on the Publish button. So I'll click the Sign In button and log in with those credentials we just verified. Make sure that you remember the password that you changed if needed, and sign in. And it automatically publishes your report up into your Power BI account. It's that easy. And in fact, you can just click on this link to open your report in the Power BI service in the browser. And so if all went well, you should be able to see those same pages. Here's my sentiment by zip and sentiment by distance traveled. Those same visualizations. The filtering should still function just as they did before. You can switch between your pages, and you see now that you have your report available online. Content packs are a powerful way to share datasets, reports, and dashboards throughout your organization. In this next step, we'll show you how to open a content pack. Creating and consuming content packs are a Power BI Pro feature. If you're not already a Pro user, you can easily upgrade by clicking on the gear icon in the Power BI service. Then, just click to manage your personal storage to get into your account settings. And you'll notice that there's a button right here in the top right corner to try Pro for free. Simply click on that button and click the Start Trial to confirm it. And you should see that your trial has been extended. Go ahead and click Close. And you're now a Pro user. It brings me back to my Power BI interface, and it's telling me I don't have any dashboards right now. And that's correct, we haven't created any. But if I click on this hamburger button over here on the left-hand side, that's those three horizontal lines up there, I can see the report and data set that I published previously. I'll just click Got It to close this. These are the ones that we created back in Power BI Desktop. Now, it could be that you had problems publishing based on bandwidth at the venue that you're at or something like that. So content packs are another great way to consume data that's already up in Power BI. I want to pull in an existing dashboard report and data set. And so I'm going to click on the Get Data button down here. And under the Get Data page, under Content Pack Library from my organization, I'm going to click on Get. And we've pre-supplied for the DID user accounts an Alteryx Power BI data set that's exactly the same data set report as well as a dashboard that map to the ones that we've already created back in Power BI Desktop. So I'll simply click the Get button to pull those in, and you'll see that now I have an Alteryx Power BI data set, an Alteryx Power BI report, and an Alteryx Power BI dashboard. We haven't talked about dashboards yet, we're about to, but that's a really easy way to pull in existing data. Now, moving forward, if you were able to successfully publish your own report, you can certainly continue working with that. If not, you can use the Alteryx Power BI report instead as a base for the remainder of this lab. Dashboards are a powerful tool in the Power BI service to combine visuals from multiple reports into a single view. In this step, we'll take a look at how to create one. In this step, we're going to be creating a dashboard up in the Power BI service. Now, if you were able to successfully publish your report into the service previously, you can continue working with that. If not, you can use the Alteryx Power BI report that was pulled in from the content pack in the previous step. I'll go ahead and continue with my report. So this is the report we were authoring earlier back in the Power BI desktop tool and then published up into the Power BI service. Remember, we had a couple of different pages, sentiment by zip and sentiment by distance traveled, and then some different visuals on each of those pages. So I first want to publish this map or pin this map onto a new dashboard. So as I hover over the visual on the report page, notice this push pin icon that allows me to pin this visual. So I'll go ahead and click on the push pin and I want to create a new dashboard and I'm going to just call it My Dashboard. Now, even though I have an Alteryx Power BI dashboard, I can't publish to it because it came from a content pack and I didn't create it. So I'm going to create a new dashboard here, give it my own name, My Dashboard, and I'll pin that visual to it. And I'm going to repeat that process for all the other visuals on this page. I'll pin each of the cards to the existing now My Dashboard. Repeat for each of those cards, as well as, let me clear these notifications here, for the table. And I'm going to switch to the sentiment by distance traveled, and I'll go ahead and pin that scatter chart to the same dashboard. So notice this gives me a way to combine visuals from multiple pages or even multiple reports into a single dashboard. So now under dashboards, I have this My Dashboard, and I want to change the layout. So I'm going to drag things around here a little bit, and I'll just drag the map down. I want these cards up here along the top. I'll drag the table off to the right-hand side, the scatter chart down below that, and let's go ahead and increase the size of this map to fill up that area there. So fantastic. I've now got this nice dashboard that I can use to easily get a view of how the sentiments are against the businesses that I'm managing. Now that you have a dashboard, let's see how to share it either with people outside your organization or with those inside your organization. So I'm in the browser with the dashboard that I just created open up in the Power BI service. And to share that dashboard, it's as easy as clicking on the share icon up here in the top right-hand corner and then typing in the email addresses of the people that I'd like to share with. So for example, I could type in email addresses of people outside of my organization. And as I step away, it's going to let me know that some of those email addresses are outside of my organization. So there may be some security issues there. But let me remove that. And let's say I just wanted to share with another one of those DIAD users. And in fact, it finds it from the Active Directory associated with my Power BI corporate account. And I can send that off to them. Check out this awesome dashboard. And go ahead and hit share to send that email off. I'll hit cancel. I don't actually need to send that. Another great way to share content, as we've already seen, is through content packs. Now, if you have permissions, you can create content packs, but as we've seen, users within your org can go to Get Data, click on the Get button, and then find the content packs that are available from within your organization. In this last step, we're going to take a look at a great feature in Power BI for using natural language queries with your data. Back in the Power BI service in the browser, if you're still looking at content packs, you can close out of there and return back to your workspace. And again, I've got my dashboard open that we created previously, and we can see the different visuals that we'd placed there before. But notice up here at the top, there's this ask a question about your data. And I can do that using natural query. So for example, I can just say, show me the average response score. And in fact, I get some IntelliSense showing me the different fields that are available in the data associated with this dashboard, but I'll just choose response score. And I can in fact see that 0.56 average response score. That should look familiar from the cards that we had on those other report pages previously. But I want to see this broken down by zip. So I'll just say by zip. And notice again, I get some IntelliSense and a visual, but I don't like seeing it sort of as this horizontal bar chart. I'd rather see it as a map. And so again, I can just sort of pick from that. And this gives me a great way to come in and just sort of type out the questions about the data that I'd like to see. And you can see that Power BI gives you a great way to work with those natural language queries. Well, great. That wraps up this walkthrough of the Alteryx Power BI Lab. And if you got all the way through it, you accomplished quite a bit. We started out reviewing an existing Power BI report to see what we would be creating, and we jumped in step number two and created the report ourselves, pulling in the data, modifying that zip so that it met the criteria that we needed, added in a map, table, and some card visualizations. Then we added a new page and used a scatter chart visualization on that one, showed you how to save the report locally, and then we kind of jumped over to the Power BI service. We first verified that we could log into the service, and then we published that report that we'd created in the Power BI desktop tool up into the Power BI service, showed you how to open content packs that have data sets, reports, and dashboards that others in your organization have created and shared, but then showed you how to create your own dashboards and share those with others. And then finally, we wrapped up looking at the very powerful natural language query features in Power BI.